I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. This episode of the Raptors Over Everything Podcast is brought to you by our official sponsor, Kentucky Fried Chicken, the new official food of basketball. So make sure you're never missing buckets. Order yours online at kfc.ca and get it before tip-off. So, unfortunately, I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors' 99-96 loss to the Charlotte Hornets. That's right, they lost to the now 21-38 Charlotte Hornets at home at Scotiabank. And, look, you got to be a diehard fan to be watching this. You got to be, real bored on your weekend or something. So I appreciate it. Appreciate that you're a diehard fan and you're watching this because, man, that was a frustrating game. It brings me no joy to recap this one. Because quite honestly, this is a case where ignorance is bliss. Like, if you didn't watch this game, you didn't see the stress of what went on tonight, you didn't see the Raptors, play like shit for most of the game, fight this uphill battle against a team like the Hornets, who are just not that good, and then only to fight back, have a great chance to win in the end, should have won it in the end, and then to not only just lose, but lose in spectacular fashion, where Rondae Hollis-Jefferson committed a foul on Terry Rozier on an inbound pass where the Raptors were tied 96-96. The Hornets had the last possession, 2.1 seconds. Actually, you know what? Honestly, it's just I got to go back a little bit. I just got to contextualize a little bit because this is almost some like Arsenal stuff. If you're an EPL fan, this is an Arsenal-type loss tonight. But, yeah, so the Raptors, they trail all night. Offensively, they can't get anything going. They play okay defensively, and they keep themselves in it, and the Hornets are just not that good. But the Raptors give themselves a chance. Kyle Lowry has his, personal 9-0 run, gets the Raptors the lead. Miles Bridges hits his wild three. The Raptors get some free throws. There was a real chance the Raptors are going to come away with it. Last possession for the Raptors. Kyle Lowry has the ball because he's been red hot. Drives in the lane, collapses the defense, kicks out to Norman Powell, who's been the only guy all game who could shoot. Norm misses a wide-open three on the wing. The rebound caroms right into Kyle Lowry's hands. He's all alone in the corner. He takes an open corner three. That doesn't go in. And now here's where it gets real wacky, because whatever, it's a tie game at this point with 5 seconds left when Lowry's shot misses. But the Hornets get the ball, and Miles Bridges on the Hornets had great awareness. He started leaking out, and the Raptors were really all intent on crashing the glass. There's no floor balance, and the Hornets are throwing this outlet pass to Miles Bridges, who would have had a wide open dunk at the end of the game to just win it at the buzzer. It would have been an amazing win for the Hornets, all right? But instead, even though the pass was thrown, the play was whistled dead because the Hornets coach, James Brego, called timeout to prevent his own team from winning. Just an incredible sequence. You're like, wow, what a break for the Raptors. I mean, we can really, have a great chance here, because instead of, what's his name, Bridges just ending the game, here is this golden opportunity with 2.1 seconds. The Raptors can just defend for 2 seconds and will force overtime. It's unfortunate. Nobody wanted overtime in this game. But hey, if there's a chance to win it at the end, the Raptors did have the momentum. They're at home. You would figure overtime, they can pull it out. The Raptors already pulled out one overtime win against the Hornets this year. But instead, this is what happens. On the inbound play, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson has two hands on the back of Terry Rozier. Now, I only saw it when it happened live, and then when they played it once on the big screen. To me, it looked like a bit of an exaggeration by Rozier, who kind of fell over in that situation. But still, a little undeniable that Rondae had two hands on his back. So they called a foul. The thing is, the foul was before the inbound. So what that did was that it gave the Hornets one free throw, which Rozier hit after, the Raptors tried to buy some time and try to ask for review and stuff like that. It didn't work. Rozier hits the free throw. They still have the ball. They inbound to Devontae Graham. Graham hits both free throws. Raptors only have 1.2 seconds left. They call timeout. They advance the ball. They get this shitty look for Norman Powell in the corner that just doesn't really go anywhere. And that's how the game ends. So real unfortunate, really, really unfortunate ending, and really just a miserable game overall. Again, I appreciate everyone who's watching this, who's like putting themselves through and revisiting this game. It was not fun. And, you know, it was not fun for many reasons. Number one, just improbable. The Raptors have, generally speaking, done a really good job taking care of trash teams, especially at home. You don't see them lose games like this very often. You know, it was also surprising because the Raptors won the possession battle. You know, they got more offensive rebounds than the Hornets. They committed only 5 turnovers, so the Hornets 17. So right there, with the 3 extra offensive rebounds and the 12 extra possessions in terms of turnovers, that is 15 extra possessions at home against the Hornets. I don't care who's missing from the lineup, you should be able to win that game. But it was just a miserable night. The Raptors shot 10 of 43 from 3. And it was just one of those games where nothing was going right. And, you know, look, I don't know, man. I don't know. It was a frustrating game. The Raptors didn't really – they came out okay. You know, they had the lead early on. They weren't even playing that hard. They're hitting a couple threes. Things looked okay. But, man, did it really, really, really drop off for this team. The Raptors, for the majority of the game, shot like 30% from the field. And in the fourth quarter, they finally got their offense going. They scored 30 points in the fourth quarter, but even at that point, they were still in the 30s. They finished the night shooting 34% from the field. Of course, that's a large part due to the 10 of 43 from 3. And of course, one of the areas that's frustrating from this game is that the Raptors also missed 9 of their 29 free throws. They shot 69%, not nice tonight, 69% on their free throws. If they had just made 1 or 2 more free throws, the game could have been very different. A lot of good free throw shooters missing shots, Pascal missing shots, Norm missing 2, Kyle Lowry missing 2. It's you know, it was frustrating. But, you know, it's just one of those games where the Raptors just didn't really have it. Like, they were down 15 in the first half to the Hornets. Like, the Hornets aren't even that good. Here's the thing. It's not even like a bad team came in here, made a whole bunch of shots, and you're like, all right, what do we do? You know, these things happen. You know, let's... But, you know, you can kind of understand that it was an aberration. Yes, of course, it's an aberration. The Raptors, most times when they play the Hornets, they would win. But at the same time, it was not an aberration in the sense that the Hornets didn't play out of their minds to beat the Raptors. That's not what happened here. It was just really the Hornets. All they did was pack the paint. They had, obviously, Bismack Biyombo, who's a good rim protector, and he remains that. And I love Biz. He's, you know, a hero, a Raptors hero forever. But, I mean, like, what... What else did they really do? Like, they didn't... It wasn't like they were lights out on offense. Yeah, they shot 13 of 30 from 3, which is 43%. It's a high number. That's, like, high by, like, one make a game, all right? They got to the free throw line 25 times. It's not even that much. They didn't even shoot that well from the field. They only had 43% shooting from the field. And, again, they turned it over 17 times to the Raptors 5. They didn't even play great defense. It's just the Raptors just kept missing, and it was a frustrating game. You could tell. I mean, it's already like an hour and a half after the game's ended, just at the locker rooms and everything like that. Came back, and you know, it cheeses me to even still be in this building after a game like this. But, you know, in terms of the circumstances, yeah, they're a little unfortunate. You know, you look at it, the Raptors get 2 guys back. They got Norm Powell, which is great, and they got Pat McCaw, which not so great. But I'm happy that he's at least overcome a flu. And in exchange, the Raptors, you know, because this is what happened this season, you can't have everyone healthy. You can't even have most of the team healthy. Because they got 2 guys back, they got 2 guys out. Fred VanVleet apparently had a sore shoulder because he got clipped by Giannis on the screen in the Bucks game 3 days ago. Sucks, all right? It just sucks that he couldn't play. Fred is very important to this team, and you saw how much his absence was felt today. And then also Marc Gasol remains out. And in addition to that, Serge Ibaka apparently had a sore knee, and so he couldn't play. And so really, you're looking at a real shorthanded roster. But again, the Raptors have pulled out many shorthanded wins this year. They have. Like, it's not like the Raptors, okay, they missed a couple guys, they're dead. They would not be 47 and or 42 and 17 this year if that was the case. The Raptors, you know, have played many games, been shorthanded, but obviously more shorthanded than they were tonight, and they have pulled it out, especially at home. So it's hard to blame that, but at the same time, it is difficult because you look at it, the Raptors had to really, really scrounge for production tonight. For most of the game, I was talking to, you know, my coworker Ahmed here from Yahoo. And I was just looking at him, and we're watching the game together from Media Row, and I'm just like, yo, who, if you're Nick Nurse, who are the five players that you're going to put on the floor in the fourth quarter? Because there were not five players that were performing, you know, to standard tonight. Just even, not even to standard, just adequately. Because you look at what the bench gave you, because the fact that there have been injuries and stuff like that, the bench gave you a combined 9 total points, man. Terrence Davis tonight, 1 of 6, 0 of 4 from 3, 2 points in 15 minutes and 19 seconds. Chris Boucher, 2 of 3 from the field. He missed a 3. 4 total points in 16 minutes. Also, just 1 total defensive rebound for the backup center. Not great in a game like this. And then Matt Thomas comes in 7 minutes off the bench. They barely run anything for him. He jacks up a couple shots. He's only got 3 points. So you're looking at 9 total points. And the guy I didn't even mention is Pat McCaw, who's getting a ton of hate online again, which it's unfortunate, man. That's probably the worst part about basketball and the worst part of being a celebrity in any or being famous in any case is that, you know, you get shit on and it's dehumanizing and it sucks. But at the same time, man, the man had 0 points in 20 minutes off the bench, 19 minutes and 43 seconds. He shot 0-6 from the field, 0-2 from the free throw line. He was, had a couple offensive rebounds on his own misses that he and then also missed. He had a steal, he had a turnover, he had 2 personal fouls, and it was not good. First off, the bench in general was not good, but especially McCaw. You know, I've made the case for him before, like, okay, you know, he's the third point guard, sets the plays up, you know. Generally speaking, plays good defense. None of that was happening tonight. I mean, maybe it's because he just had the flu and, you know, he's not 100% or anything like that, but it was a bad night for him. And it perplexes me as to why, not necessarily that he played 20 minutes, because you got to play somebody. You're really down on your point guards. But at the same time, why did he play more minutes than everybody else on the bench? It's kind of perplexing to me, man. If he was a team worst minus 16 in a game where the Raptors only lost by 3 points. And I'm not saying that, like, yo, you can't play McCaw at all. But I'm just saying, like, tonight was not the night to play McCaw. You know, even though Terrence Davis was making mistakes, Terrence has had a good game against the Hornets this year. Terrence is a guy who, generally speaking, can give you some scoring. Obviously he wasn't scoring much tonight. But damn, I would take 1 for 6 over 0 for 6. And even Matt Thomas, who can at least stretch the floor. You know, the Hornets did a really good job of packing the paint. On a night where you only are shooting 23% from three, maybe you put your best three-point shooter out there a little bit more as compared to someone like McCaw, who, again, tonight he just didn't have it, man. He didn't have it. There's one sequence that was really sad in the third quarter where McCaw drove to the basket, had a layup, missed it, got his own offensive rebound, went out for a second layup, missed it, got a second offensive rebound, and then got stripped. And it was like, yo, what is going on here, man? Missing point-blank layups. And defensively, it wasn't even there for him either. Like, there's a lot of plays where he got back cut, lost his man, you know, got caught on a screen, which usually his best asset is that he's good at just going around screens. He got caught on a screen, allows a corner three. Like, it was just not a good night for him and not a good night for the bench. And really, it really sucks because the starters were not very good tonight. And you look at OJ Anunoby was probably the one that really, really did his job to the best of his ability. You got 16 points on 9 rebounds from him with 3 assists and 6 steals. Whoa, 6 steals is really nice, and I think it's a career high for OG. In 40 minutes, he was good. He did his role to the best of his ability, but he's not a guy who swings the game for you. He's not the guy who's winning games for you. And if you look at this game, you know, Kyle and Pascal just weren't really there consistently. Now, I'll give them a lot of credit because they play with a lot of heart, all right? Because even though Kyle was kind of bullshitting his way through most of the game, you know, frustrations, you know, bad shots, in the first half, he had 3 fouls, only 1 made basket. It was not a great start for him, but he finished strong. He really came up in the clutch, and he made a lot of plays happen, and the Raptors wouldn't be in a position to salvage this game if it wasn't for Kyle. And for Pascal, he willed the Raptors back into the game by driving and attacking the basket, but this is not necessarily a good game for either of them. I'll say that much. Like, again, Kyle in the first half, invisible, and, you know, it just, the frustrations with the officials is just, I mean, whatever, Mark Davis sucks, man. Mark Davis is literally the devil. But, like, damn, you can't be that caught up in it. At least Kyle didn't pick up a tech. But, honestly, on most nights, Kyle would have picked up a tech for what he did tonight. But still, you know, you can trust Kyle to play his heart out. And he ended up doing that in the end. Again, he had a very, very impressive run where he scored I think, 9 straight points for the Raptors. He hit a 3. You know, he hit another 3. He got fouled, and then, you know, it was just Kyle's making plays. Kyle makes plays. He's big time in that front, and he almost pulled the win out for the Raptors. And for Pascal, like, second half, I thought first half, okay, he was disoriented, just wasn't working out well. The Raptors offensively only produced 41 points against the Hornets in the first half. Really, really miserable. Third quarter, though, the Raptors got back on track offensively, and the only reason they did that is because Pascal just was putting his head down and going to the basket. The jumpers weren't falling. Like, honestly, Pascal had some pretty bad warm-up sessions today. I think he might have shot, like, 20% in his warm-up. It was real tough, so it just didn't look like it was going to be a night where Pascal's jumper was going to be a big factor. And, Pascal pretty much just said, you know what, screw the jumper. I'm going to get to the basket. I can still get to the basket. And he really made a point to attack the rim, and he kind of kept the Raptors' offense afloat, because even though 25 was not a big number in terms of a scoring total for a quarter, pretty much all of that in the third quarter was Pascal going to the rim and collapsing the defense and just making things happen. And I appreciate him for that. But, yeah, it just was not a great night for the starters. I mean, Norm did what he could. He hit 2 threes early on, and you're like, wow, you know, he looks great. He looks ready to go. But, you know, he still had a couple of misses where just not as sharp as you would normally expect. Norm played 36 minutes tonight. I'm sure that wasn't the plan. I'm maybe sure that that's not wise in terms of a medical standpoint. Powell was asked after the game, you know, hey, 36 minutes after injury, after you missed a month with injury, is that smart? And he said no comment. He said his conditioning was whatever. He did say he wanted to be out there, so I'm not trying to cause no controversy. I'm just saying he said no comment when he was asked about his usage. But, you know, he did what he could. The missed free throws and everything like that. Just, you know, honestly, because Norm has been so locked in with everything that you just expect him to make everything. He had a couple of impressive plays, including one where, you know, he drove to the basket and came off the screen and saw the defense was sagging back. And he took this kind of, like, flip shot from basically the elbow area where he rose up and just one-handed kind of just, like, it wasn't even really a floater. It was really just like a running jump shot. And he flicked that in. It was a very, very beautiful play. Very, very smooth. Showed a lot of skill on that. And, you know, for the most part, he seemed okay. Like, he had a couple of drives to the rim that he missed. He's been converting everything recently. So, and, of course, he has a finger that has just been recently fractured. So, probably tough to finish layups. I had a fractured finger from September, and it still hurts me now. And I'm just holding a freaking microphone. So, it's understandable. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Norm was, you know, as good as you can reasonably want in a game where he first returns from injury. I did notice one play where he, in the second quarter there, he crossed up his man on the perimeter, got inside, and Hernan Gomez was there, the center for the Hornets. And Powell froze him with a Euro step sort of to his left. And normally, if you go to your left like that, you would go up with your left hand and just finish a layup because it's harder to block that. It's pretty much impossible to reach. But Norm, instead of doing that, still kind of stepped around his man and then sort of like twisted his right arm around and tried to go in with a tighter right-handed finish. I think really that just suggests to me that, you know, he probably is favoring his right hand more because obviously his left hand is banged up. But still, Norm was good. And yeah, it's nice to have him back. It's nice to have people back, man. I'm sick and tired of watching the injured Raptors. It just kind of sucks, man. It's, you know, like, whatever. Like, it's not many excuses. It's the Hornets. I don't care who you have out there. You should be able to win. The last time the Raptors played the Hornets here at Scotiabank, they had, like, 40 assists. And they scored, like, 130-something points. Like, you should just be better. This team sucks. And it's not even like the Hornets were playing that well tonight. It's not a night where some guy got red hot and you couldn't really stop him or, you know, whatever. It's just a tough night. And it was a tough night, especially for Rondé, who I feel really bad for because he's obviously fighting an uphill battle every night. Look, he has played DeAndre Ayton really well. He has played Karl-Anthony Towns really well. He's outplayed Karl-Anthony Towns in a season this year, in a game this season. But, I mean, come on. He's still a small ball center, and he's going up against Bismack Biyombo. It's just physically draining. It's physically taxing. The structure defensively is not the same with Rondé at center. Not even necessarily just because it's because he's not doing what his job is defensively. It's just it's tougher. The structure is used to the Raptors having a really good rim protector in either Serge or Mark at the back line. And it's the organization's not there. The structure's not there. You could tell there's a lot of misrotation by the Raptors tonight. And Rondé was just fighting an uphill battle. And yeah, he ultimately commits the foul at the end there. To be honest, it was not the best game for him by any means. He obviously fouled out. I don't think the loss is on him necessarily. Yes, he makes a crucial mistake. Yes, it's an avoidable mistake. And, whatever. But this is a game where everyone contributed to the loss, you know? there's games where everyone contributes to the win. Well, this is one where everyone contributes to the loss. It's not just Rondé tonight, man. Like, you look at it, like, Pascal, if he made a couple more free throws, game's probably different. If Kyle, isn't just, doing random dumb stuff for the first half of the game, maybe the Raptors don't fall into such a big hole. If Norm hits the wide open three at the end, game's probably over. He's probably a hero. We're probably just celebrating him. If the bench scores more than 9 total points, and McCaw doesn't play 20 minutes, a lot of things could have gone wrong. So, Rondé's error is just the last one. It's not necessarily the one that killed him, but still, he looked just kind of distraught in the locker room. Like, he kind of took the loss kind of hard. Wasn't speaking, obviously, to reporters and stuff, whatever. I don't think anyone tried to make an effort to speak to him anyway. I mean, what are you going to do? You just feel bad for a guy like the situation. It's unfortunate what happened. But I thought it was a very touching moment because Serge actually went over to Rondé. In the locker room on his way out. Serge was still with the team, even though he sat the game out with the knee thing. And, he made sure to go over to Rondé and sort of reassure him or anything, just to sort of tell him, like, yo, listen, it's okay. Just keep your head in the game. We're going to get it the next time. And just to being a good vet, just like picking a guy up when the guy's down. And I thought it was just a nice gesture from Serge, who wasn't trying to do it for cameras or anything like that. He's just doing it because he's a tough guy and he's a solid guy. And he's a guy who knows what this feeling feels like. Not necessarily this entire feeling, but if, honestly, ironically enough, do you remember there was a play earlier this year against the Hornets where, at the end of regulation, the Hornets were down 1. That the Raptors were, hard fought. They were shorthanded, whatever. All the same situation. Serge ended up basically sending the game to overtime because he committed a needless foul on an inbound before the play was, before the pass was delivered. And, that game, put the game into jeopardy because the Raptors had to go to overtime. Now, they won the game in overtime, and Serge was great in that game, so it's different outcome and it's different feelings. But Serge knows how to commit, knows what it feels like to commit that foul. And actually, if you remember a couple years ago, maybe last year or the year before that, but Serge had this unfortunate assignment to guard Nikola Jokic, and I think he fouled Jokic, also in the same situation, late game situation, fouled before the inbound, and that pretty much effectively ended that game as well. And he was holding the man at the time. Obviously, it's a size mismatch there, but it's just, it's disappointing, man. It's disappointing, but, I hope the team rallies around Rondé. He plays his heart out. He really does. Yes, he makes boneheaded decisions sometimes, but, he's also stepping up in a big way, man. Like, yo, dog, he's the starting center tonight. He's 6'5". It's tough. It's tough. So, it's unfortunate. What else? Bismack Biyombo came through the Raptors locker room after the game. It was real cute. Seeing him hang out with Kyle's kids and stuff. Biz and Kyle, obviously they still have that connection from the 2016 run when the Raptors first made the Eastern Conference Finals. Serge and Bismack are obviously friends because, they're both Congolese and they've hung out off the court. We've seen them do the, How Hungry Are You, the first episode with Bismack eating cow tongue, I think. So, it's a nice bond there. I miss Bismack. I really do. Obviously, the Raptors have some pretty good options at center now, but it, because of the injuries and stuff like that, they've gone a couple of stretches here, having to rely on Rondé to play center. And I wouldn't have minded if, Bismack sort of secured a buyout and the Raptors sort of brought him home here. I think Toronto will always be a home for Bismack. It was nice to see him come through the locker room and stuff like that. It's just, good dude, man. Good dude. In terms of KC play of the game, man, Kyle hit a three at one point to give the Raptors a one-point lead that the Raptors didn't have since the first quarter. And it was late in the fourth, and it seemed like the Raptors were going to go ahead. So that's probably it. That's your KFC bucket of the game. Look, man, a lot of buckets to choose from tonight, all right? They did not shoot the ball well. In terms of your three stars, first star, I'm giving that to OG. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 6 steals. 6 steals is impressive. I don't care what else is going on, man. 6 steals is really impressive, yeah, especially because OG wasn't really guarding, like, a high use. It's not even like, you know, it's like a team like the Clippers or the Lakers where most of the possessions flow through a wing forward, and so OG's on the ball all the time. OG wasn't even on the ball all the time. He still collected 6 steals. That's really impressive. So he gets the first star. Second star, I'm giving that to Pascal. 24 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. 9 of 23 shooting from the field is not the most efficient. Obviously, 5 of 9 from the free throw line is regrettable in a close game. But, you know, on a night where Pascal didn't really have it, you know, he gave it his all. Like, he was defending his ass off, really giving an effort defensively. He had to play some spot minutes at 5, which has not happened much this year. The Raptors obviously went to that look a lot more last year because they've also had injuries last year to their center rotation. JV was out for 2 months, and then he was traded. And so Monroe had to play a lot, and he's just not very good. And so Pascal had to play a lot of backup center, and he did pretty good in that situation. But they've kind of really limited Pascal's minutes at center this year. I don't know if it's like a preventing the wear and tear or whatever, but yeah, today was an emergency situation, so he had to play. And he did a pretty good job defensively. You know, he rebounded really well. And yeah, you know, offensively, it wasn't his best game, but, you know, he gave what he could to the team. He sacrificed his body. He willed the team forward, and that's what you want to see. You want to see Pascal impose his will on the team. He's talented enough to sort of do things and produce, but to will your team on and to impose yourself, that's sort of that next level where it's not even necessarily about what you can do. It's sort of about how you can lift the team. And you know, yeah. Kyle obviously has that, you know, in spades. You know, he does it all the time. And he did it for a brief moment tonight, too. But, you know, if you're looking ahead in terms of who's going to will your franchise forward, who's going to have those big moments, who's going to show that determination, show that leadership, assume responsibility for the team, well, it's probably Pascal. And he did a pretty good job of it. Or not even a pretty good job. He just did what he could tonight. And then third stack with that to Norman Powell, 22 points in his return, 8 of 19 from the field, 4 of 11 from 3. He was all right. Three assists. I like seeing him out there. I wanted to give it to Kyle, too. Obviously, he had a great ending, but, you know, just early in the game, it left such a sour note for me. So, Kyle misses out, but obviously one of the main contributors to this game. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, that's got to go to Terry Rozier. Scary Terry, 18 points tonight, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 of 12. Obviously, you know, hit a big 3 at the end there, 3 of 4 from the 3-point line. Obviously, drew the free throw there, so, you know, congratulations. I guess he got his revenge on Terrence Davis. Whoop-de-doo. Man, the Hornets are irrelevant, man. I didn't even see a single Hornets reporter here, man. I don't want to sound like Frank Isola of the, you know, whatever he's writing on now. But, yeah, I did not see a lot of Hornets media here. So, yeah. But, look, the Raptors lost. It's unfortunate. They lost 2 in a row. Now they got to go on a 5-game road trip. Fun times. You would have liked to go on the road trip with a bit more of a result at home. Obviously, losing Milwaukee is whatever. It happens. I mean, OKC just got trucked by Milwaukee tonight. I thought they were leading that game, and then now I see that their final score, they lost by, like, almost 50. Jesus Christ. So Milwaukee's a juggernaut, and so you want to be loose to them. But, I mean, this was a game that the Raptors should have gone. They should have sort of improved to, 43-16, maintain their lead in the second seed. But instead, they're now neck and neck with Boston yet again. And now they go on a very difficult road trip where 5 games, you know, we'll see what the Raptors are made of, you know. I mean, we know what they're made of. We know what they're capable of. But, you know, you hope that they shake this malaise. You hope Pascal finds his jumper. You hope that Kyle sort of stops being as inconsistent as he has been in the last 2 games here. You hope the guys who are injured, please come back and stay healthy. Mark is apparently making a trip with the team as well, so that indicates that he's close, although Nurse said that he's probably not going to play on the trip. But still, if he's coming on the trip, that means he must be close. So maybe we'll even see Mark. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Raptors need to go out west, take care of business. They've been a good road trip team. They couldn't be, you know, they go on the road. It's not even that bad for the Raptors just because, like, it just cuts down on distractions. You know, There's a lot going on at home. There's the social. There's all these events, all this other stuff. They all got families and shit. And it's not saying families are a distraction. I'm just saying, like, when you're on the road, all you got to do is you and your work. That's it. And, you know, it's not like they'd be out partying in Utah or whatever, or Phoenix or whatever. Well, maybe Phoenix. I don't know. But, yeah, hopefully the Raptors can take care of business. And, yeah, so that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Big thanks to KC for sponsoring the show. Again, you're a real diehard fan if you've been listening to this. But, you know, a reminder that, hey, listen, if you can, and if you want to, if you got things to say, if you got a question, if you got a comment, if whatever, please leave us a voice note at the Yahoo Sports Canada Instagram page. Direct message us, leave us a voice note. And if you leave a good message, a good question, or even just a decent message, a decent question, we will play it as part of the KFC Hotline on the Raptors Everything live call-in show, which is now happening on Mondays. Not Fridays anymore, Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Me and Josh will be taking calls. So leave us your reaction, leave us your comments, and yeah, so we'll talk then. But in the meantime, it's a tough loss. What can you do? Life goes on. You got to be 42-17. Boo-hoo.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.